opinion on that is it all goes back to the way Western physicians are trained. And they essentially have one semester of pharmacology. The one that's going to be looking out for you as the patient and what the best course of treatment might be. But those physicians, more times than not, know very little about the drug products that they're writing a prescription for. You always have to follow the money. Who's paying for the study? There's an awful lot of pressure on scientists to make those results favorable to the sponsor of the study. Upwards of 91% of physicians in the USA have taken some sort of remuneration from drug companies. There are 1.1 million doctors across the United States, so that means a million doctors have been paid something by drug companies.
Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. I have Dr. Joe coming to the program. He knows Max and Phil, my favorite scientists. And they are just, you got to talk to this guy. He actually has come on before, but he is going to come on and talk specifically about toxicology. He has a PhD in toxicology, and he's worked in the pharmaceutical industry for 22 years. He's worked with Dow Chemical. He's worked with all sorts of big players in that world, but now he does his own HOPE program where he's helping people get off of all these medications, and it's really affordable, and if people can't afford it, then he figures out a way to cover everyone. But he's gonna come on and talk about why we're in this epidemic of over-prescribing, and also he's bringing to the table that 91% of doctors are paid by pharmaceutical companies in some way in the past, whether it was dinner or out and out paid. I mean, there is a percentage that are, you know, double their salary, you know, make $500,000 additional dollars because they are prescribing certain drugs. Every state's different and the rules are different. It's pretty telling when we have this massive opioid epidemic and all these people that are on many drugs when we have doctors that are being paid. And it's sad. And so he's going to talk about the toxicology of that and how it damages your body and what you can do. And, you know, of course, he knows Max and Phil, and he just strongly believes in the C60 and why that helps with toxicology, why that helps with the toxins in your body. And for people who are recovering from being on 10 different medications, dealing with all these side effects, why that product can really be your best option for getting out of the mess of being overprescribed. And so he's going to talk. It's just such a great tool for humanity. So if you're interested in learning more about C60 and the benefits that you can get from helping you get off all these toxins and all these medications, go to sarahwestall.com/shop. You can learn about some of that there. You can also click through and go to their website, and they'll have all sorts of research and science as well. And of course, I have coupons, so if you ever end up deciding it might be right for you, you can get a discount by getting the recent coupon on my shop. But let's get into this amazing interview now with Dr. Joe. Dr. Joe, welcome back to the program.
Thank you very much, Sarah. It's happy to be back.
You know, we've been talking about having you back because of your expertise in pharmaceuticals and specifically the toxicology field. And, you know, it's really an explosive story. Everybody knows that we over-medicate and everybody's taking all these drugs. We have this huge opioid epidemic. But you see it from a more of a holistic issue. Before we get into that, can you talk about what your background is?
Sure, I'd be happy to. I have a PhD in toxicology, specifically pharmaceutical sciences from University of Colorado. And I've been in the field for over 30 years. And over the course of my career, I've worked in academics, I've worked for Dow Chemical Company, I've worked for pharmaceutical company proper, and most recently, about 16 years as my own practice of superior toxicology and wellness. So I've been in the industry, and I've been in different aspects of the industry. I worked in pesticides, I worked in herbicides, I worked in pharmaceuticals, I've worked in academics. So I'm very well-rounded.
Well, and let's get into, let's just dive right into it, the drugs not being an answer. Of course, it can be an answer for some issues, but we're over-medicating. And in the case of opioids, we have a major epidemic on our hands. What is going on? How do we get to a position where doctors care more about just prescribing than solving real, you know, getting to the source of the problem?
Right, sure. Well, my opinion on that is it all goes back to the way Western physicians are trained. And they essentially have one semester of pharmacology. So for physicians, you would expect your doctor to be the person who has your wellness at heart, the one that's going to be looking out for you as the patient and what the best course of treatment might be. But those physicians, more times than not, know very little about the drug products that they're writing a prescription for. I like to term it as they're only as smart as the last drug rep that was sitting across their desk. And the problem with that is the drug reps work for the pharmaceutical companies that are exploiting every different type of loophole that they know to increase the amount of prescriptions that each physician writes for those drug products. So it's not necessarily the physician's inability to know that there might be a better way. It's just that they don't know about the drug products that they're writing for. And they lean on other parts of the healthcare system, specifically the pharmacists. You know, the pharmacists are truly the drug experts in the whole spectrum of healthcare. The physicians, with their one semester of pharmacology, don't know the ins and outs of these drugs. They may not know that although the opioids do real good for pain, but they also grab a hold of your soul and don't let it go. And they're so intensely addictive that they might not know that. All they know is that if they write 100 prescriptions a week for an opioid, then they could possibly be rewarded by the drug company. And therein lies the problem.
Let's talk about pharmacists for a second before we get into being maybe paid by the drug companies. Pharmacists have doctorate degrees too. They're very educated on, they have intensely educated on the drugs. Why would pharmacists themselves not be prescribing?
Well, some pharmacists can prescribe, and it varies from state to state. And the types of drug products that pharmacists can prescribe is highly regulated and limited. As far as the painkillers and the opioids, I don't think they have prescribing powers for those. But for a lot of the other drug classifications, pharmacists do have some powers of prescribing those. And pharmacists do have doctorate degrees. It's known as a PharmD. And some, if not all, of the pharmacy schools nowadays are geared towards awarding that PharmD. My wife is actually a pharmacist. And she was in the transition period where she got her bachelor's degree in pharmacy and then was in the second graduating class from the University of Colorado to get her PharmD. There were four people in her PharmD class. Nowadays, there's 170 people in the PharmD classes. So as you are probably well aware, the degree you get when you have four classmates is highly different than a degree you get when you have 170 classmates, just from the instruction standpoint. So just as a physician goes, pharmacists tend to be as good as their education, as good as their continuing education. But I can also tell you, especially with the controlled substances like opioids, there's a lot of regulation on the pharmacies and on the pharmacists. And there's a lot on the line if a pharmacist was to fill an opioid prescription that they didn't catch through a nationwide database that a patient had already had filled at a different pharmacy. So you have people that take the same prescription to a Walgreens and a CVS and a Rite Aid and an independent pharmacy. And there are checks in places that could catch that most of the time. But your excellent drug-seeking behaviors that know the system for these patients that are looking for these drug products sometimes can beat that.
I'm going to throw this out there. Part of me is like, why would we even need to track it? If the person wants to screw themselves over, and I realize it's a drug addiction, but at some point that person needs to take responsibility for it. And the system, I don't know, I guess that's a freedom issue. We don't necessarily need a big daddy to be taking care of all of us and then blaming them for what I did. But
yes,
you know,
I agree with you 100%. Yeah. I'm a very non-traditional toxicologist in the fact that my view, I live in Colorado, the very first state that legalized marijuana and cannabis. There are a lot of problems that goes along with those types of things. But as a toxicologist, my view is legalize everything. You can have a store where you can go in and get your cannabis right next to your heroin, right next to your PCP, right next to your LSD. But in part of that process, there has to come the structure for rehab when the person that's buying that stuff has says, I've had enough, I'm throwing in the towel, I need to get clean. The system needs to police itself to provide that infrastructure for those people that say, okay, I'm done with all of this shenanigans and I'm ready to come clean and live a better life.
Well, and be transparent. Oh, yeah. Be transparent on what the drugs do to you. And then when they have an issue, it's like, well, you were educated on what these do to you. Now you have to suffer the consequences. And so, yeah, have a system for helping them get through it. But at some point, they have to take responsibility for themselves.
Absolutely. You know, when I was a kid, I was my dad was in the Navy, so I lived all up and down the East Coast. And there was a very talented basketball player that played for the University of Maryland by the name of Len Bias. And he got drafted by the Boston Celtics. And it was after his season was over. And in a celebratory party, he did cocaine for the first time in his life, and it killed him. And I, as a teenager, an impressionable teenager, listened to the actual 911 call. And that crystallized in my mind that says, every time you try these drugs, you're playing Russian roulette with your life. And it's bad on the hand that it can kill you, but that's the approach I took with my children in particular. This is what you're up against. If you want to bet your life, go for it. Please don't. This is what it'll do. I'll tell you, trust me, I'm a toxicologist. But I still have the opinion that it should be legal and it should be available and it should be cost effective so that the rehab is built in. Some people call that a very radical perspective, but it's my background. You know, I'm a scientist.
If it's not legal, there's a huge black market. Nothing's transparent and there isn't any cost for re-education and helping people, you know, reformative justice
and the black
type activities.
Brings in more violence.
Yeah. So, okay.
And as a scientist, I look for both sides of an issue. I'm fully of the opinion that as a scientist, you can find published literature that supports the pro and the con of almost every issue. And the key to survival, and I say survival because I've done a little bit of expert testimony, and I'll get back to that in a second. The key to survival is knowing the good science from the junk science. And that's based in critical thinking and education. You need to know who's doing things right, why it's right, and how come you can discount some other science and lean on other articles in a better way. So if that makes sense.
No, in my research when I was doing ethics class, one of the things that kind of struck me is that so many of the scientific experiments are skewed to what they want it to be because they throw out the bad parts of the experiment. Or they don't even, if it turns out how they don't want it, they don't even publish it. They only publish the positives and maybe even throw out the bad results. It's very skewed.
Be surprised how often that happens.
Yes. Well, the stats show it's the majority.
The other thing you get into, which will get us back to our topic, is you always have to follow the money. Who's paying for the study? there's an awful lot of pressure on scientists to make those results favorable to the sponsor of the study.
Well, and if they want to have another study and they want to work, they're going to have to give them what they want. Or they just get shelved. Well, let's talk about why doctors are prescribing at such large amounts, even when they know it might be hurting their patients. And I think it comes down to that same money problem. How many doctors are paid by pharmaceutical companies outside of the normal, the normal salary?
Sure. I just read an article and gosh, I don't know when it was published, but it was on my desk a couple days ago that upwards of 91% of physicians in the USA have taken some sort of remuneration from drug companies. There are 1.1 million doctors across the United States. So that means 1 million doctors have been paid something by drug companies. That could very well just be a dinner or a lunch out to learn about the new drug. But there are also multiple physicians who have been paid between $500,000 and $1 million from pharmaceutical companies. And this actually tops their salary from being a physician. So they're making more money from the drug company than they're making from the hospital or the physician group from which they work. And therein lies the problem. When the physician finds out that they can double or better than double their income by prescribing certain drug products, it creates, in my opinion anyway, a huge conflict of interest between the drug company, what I make for a living, and what my patient might necessarily need for standard of care. Does that make sense?
Well, it does. I had my son when he was younger go to, he had a little bit of acne. We went to our dermatologist, and the dermatologist prescribed him something that was, it was like $800 or something, and our insurance wouldn't cover it because no insurance, it was like a product that you shouldn't be prescribing. My pharmacist flagged it and gave me alternatives and said, hey, wait a minute. And he goes, I see this once in a while, but this isn't really kind of like, why is he prescribing this to you? And that was something that, and I think he was being paid off. It was a red flag for me. The behavior was weird.
That's how it's manifested in the patient population and certainly in the people that have to pay for those physicians' decisions. And you always want to know if, is this in the best interest of my child, of the patient, of the healthcare plan? And the older you get, averages show that you're on more and more and more and more pharmaceutical products. And the problem with changing a doctor is that the new doctor has no idea what the old doctor did, why they did it, how long ago they did it, whether or not there's any benefits from what they did. And so instead of erasing the board and starting from scratch, they leave a patient on everything that they're on and then just start monitoring and managing the next best side effect. You get on drug A for high blood pressure, but that causes some other problem. So they give you drug B to manage that problem. Well, drug B gives you a different problem. So they give you drug C to manage the problem from drug B. And nobody ever goes back to say, well, why don't we just try a different therapy for the original problem that doesn't have that drug effect?
Yeah.
And that's the stuff that physicians don't know.
Isn't it because it's a McDonald's drive-thru, though? I mean, they get 10 minutes max or something with the patient, so they just simply don't have the time. I mean, they just don't have the time.
The 10 minutes is probably more than they get.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay, well, let's talk
Unless,
about...
Of course,
yeah, go ahead.
You're in one of those fancy concierge physician practices where they only have a certain number of patients. You pay a big fee every year, but then you get all the time in the world you need with those physicians.
Oh, I got to tell you, the wedge program where you only pay for you only pay for catastrophic insurance, and then you can join a fancy concierge program at less than what you probably would have paid for your overall insurance. I've been checking all this out, and for me to join one of those would be $2,000. I get unlimited whatever. Me and my husband would be $3,600 for the year, plus our catastrophic, which is like $100 a month. So I'm telling you, that's the wedge program for you. And that's all you would pay then. And for people who have any kind of serious issue, that's what they should be doing. This Wedge Pro, Twyla Braze, I did a show with her. It's get out of the healthcare system. And the doctors love it. The patients love it. You pay less. You get, the doctor actually feels like they can actually perform what they went to school for, is actually caring for these patients. So I just love it. But I had to throw that plug in there.
I haven't heard of that. So I'm learning something here. I like it.
Yeah, we look into it. Her name is Twyla Braze. I did a show for her in November. I'm telling you, it really helps people. And I just think that's the way of the future. With my with catastrophic and with joining a clinic, it's like getting the best health care you could possibly get, I think.
And that's the name of the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so anyways, enough selling on that, but I just love it. I don't make any money on it. I just think it's so much better for people, you know, with the health. Obamacare is so bad. Okay, now, how do you know that doctors are actually really being paid off in any kind of numbers? Because my understanding is that there has been some laws that have gone through that they can't even go to dinner with the drug reps. Is that just certain states? And other states are a lot worse, or what is the deal with that?
I think that is exactly what's going on, is that there are certain states that are coming down on that sort of practice and certain states that are allowing it to still happen. And a lot of the laws have just pointed towards transparency, saying that if they're, as a drug company, you're going to pay doctors, then we need to know about it. And those doctors are dealing, however they deal with the conflict of interest, and they're taking the drug company money. So they enjoy the benefits of a higher income. They personally justify it, however they personally justify it. And they know that everybody in the world could potentially know that they're taking money to write those prescriptions. And they justify it because in their own mind, they're providing a service, they're helping people. They may not know the extent of how much they're helping people or maybe hurting people. And somehow they deal with that. And that's up to the individual physicians as to how that actually happens. But I think as a matter of law, it's pointing towards a transparency law. It's like, we're going to know who's doing this. And then the next wave is going to start outlawing it, I think, once they know the extent of the problem.
Well, I was introduced to you through our favorite scientists, Phil and Max. And they just rave about you because they talk about your HOPE program that you have about helping people, you know, find hope in this, because there's so many people that have so many medications they're on, they're just drowned. Can you explain your HOPE program?
I sure can. And HOPE is an acronym. It stands for Health Optimization Prescription Evaluation. And the reason for the HOPE program is to give people hope that there's a better way than being on multiple prescription drug products. And what it is it's a very personalized analysis of the drug profile that somebody is on, what they're on, what the doses are, how long they've been there, and a complete history of what they think is going on in their body based on these drugs, if their doses were increased, if drugs were changed, what was going on in their body. So it's going to be a personal discussion with an individual about their whole history of the drug use, where, how they came to be where they are, and then an alternative approach. And what I provide is questions and recommendations that they bring back to their provider to say, can we try this? This is what Dr. Joe has suggested. He's a toxicologist. He knows about the drug products. He knows what they are supposed to do and what they do when they're not supposed to do it, the side effects. And this program is specifically designed to get those people that think there's no way out of this downward spiral, because these drug products, the adverse effects mount, and it steals the quality of life from the people that are on these drug products. So that's the main aim of HOPE.
Well, isn't the toxic effects of these drugs, aren't they killing your cells at the molecular level? Because I know that when you take drugs like cocaine and things, it kills brain cells. I mean, isn't it just damaging your cells, like just alcohol does with your liver and kidneys?
Yes.
And I mean, it's just, isn't that what's happening to
all
of your cells?
Yes, there's an effect. When you take a drug for a specific effect, you give that drug an opportunity to affect everything in your body. Because when you have a headache and you take a drug, it doesn't just go to your head, it goes throughout your whole body and it has effects. So for instance, steroids are prescribed for one effect. There's upwards of 50 to 70 other different effects that a steroid can have in your body. So as you're managing the one thing, you're creating a lot of other different scenarios. And those scenarios can be cell death. It can be decoupling cellular respiration. It can be inhibiting protein synthesis. It can be any different numbers of intricate problems, which may or may not manifest itself immediately. It could take a lot of time before there's enough cells in a tissue to affect the way that tissue operates, or the way that tissue, which makes up an organ, to create organ dysfunction. So it's not an immediate effect, but if you're on a drug for years and years and years, there's ample opportunity for all kinds of bad things to happen. And that's the reason why we created HOPE, to say, give us a call or give us contact us, communicate with Dr. Joe, that's me, and we will recommend a better way. We will let you know what you can possibly do to reduce or eliminate the drug products that you're on, and recommend products that can be better alternatives. And I guarantee you, in a lot of cases, the better alternative is going to be that C60-based product that Live Longer Labs has out, because that's a tremendous product. You've talked about that before. We don't need to go into that right now unless you want to. But the HOPE program is to provide a window of opportunity for people to get off of multiple pharmaceutical products.
And why would the C60 help with that? Because, I mean, I'm actually curious about that. Is it because their immune system is so compromised with having so many different drug problems or drugs that they're on, and maybe just increasing your immune levels will solve most of your problems anyways?
I'm going to guess a little bit about what you said, because there was a little bit of a freeze up there. But the reason C60 works so well, the C60 itself is the world's best antioxidant. And if you get on livelongerlabs.com, you'll find a couple testimonials that I wrote. I wrote the very first testimonial for Max Champy and his organization. And there's a one for the lay public, and there's one for the more scientifically minded, which has a lot more details. But basically, in a nutshell, being the world's best antioxidant, the C60 sucks up the oxygen radicals that are created by breathing. So anybody that's breathing is creating oxygen radicals, which create oxidative stress in the body, and oxidative stress leads to aging. And the body spends a tremendous amount of resources quenching those oxygen radicals. And when C60 is on board, C60 goes around sucking up all of these oxygen radicals, and the body sits back and says, wow, I have a reservoir of resources that I don't have to use firefighting. And the body is so exquisitely designed that it knows how to heal itself. If it has the resources, it goes right back into healing mode and corrects the most critical areas first to continue its survival. So when C60 is on board and the body doesn't have to fight oxidative stress, it creates a pool of resources that can be sent towards healing, wherever that might be for each individual person. And a side effect of a lot of these drug products people are on is oxidative stress, because it creates the condition that causes aging more times than not. That's why C60 has such tremendous success when it comes to reversing some of these conditions, whether it's cardiovascular, whether it's visionary with Dr. Ivy, whether it's the skin effects. There's so many good things about C60. And then Max took the next step and added black seed oil. And then he's going to take the next step and add curcumin. And he is on the leading edge of a lot of what people would say anti-aging sciences. And he did this out of love for his mother, who has since passed. But this product would not have existed if Max did not want to improve the quality of life and really give his mom the best life she could live in her last few years on the planet. So,
well, and that's why I have my parents. I have my parents on all that stuff. I have my parents on all that stuff, and I'm just so, you know, my sister's a doctor and my other sister's a pharmacist, and my dad would, you know, for years wouldn't listen to anything I'm saying. Now he knows I'm talking to the best people in the world, and offering and telling him you need to be trying these. He gets it now, and he's like, I'm just taking whatever you're telling me. And honestly, and that's
way.
For my dad to say that, he just told me that a couple days ago. That's a big deal. He realizes, okay. And even my sisters are like, okay, what is this stuff? I want to start taking it. You know, so.
My dad was an oral surgeon for 40 years. So he was on the leading edge of the medical care stuff. And now he's got idiopathic interstitial fibrosis, which means his lungs are creating just scar tissue and losing effectiveness. And I told Max that, and Max sent me the liquid form of what will eventually be the gel cap for what he's going to call, he told me it's going to be C60 complete, but that's the one with the curcumin and the black seed and the C60. And the literature says it will reverse the lung fibrosis. And I told my dad, you got to take this.
Well, yeah, it's going to solve so many issues. Well, curcumin has its own really amazing effects in your body. And so by the time this airs, I think that it'll be available, because he says it's going to be available in January 2020. So I'm just excited. And I have discounts for people, so people can go to my website to get it. But I don't like to sell products unless I know that, yeah, this is really good for you. I mean, this is amazing for you. And so I don't, it feels good to be sharing this information. You met Phil and Max in a think tank, right? You were doing cutting edge. I know that they have been called one of the top 100 scientists in the world on many lists. And, you know, because I am working with all these other people as well. Cutting edge, the top things, the cutting edge of science in the world. And you have been part of that. Can you talk about that think tank?
The think tank that I ran, I was the CEO for CERT, and that stood for Colorado Energy Research Technologies. And we were doing a lot of things that were based in electronics and frequencies and scalar wave. And we had a project that just was really hitting a dead end. And Max stood up and says, well, I'll take that project and I'll run with it. And that eventually became Blue On Energy. And Max created the replacement refrigerant for the one that is now off the market. So Max was a huge part of that. And that particular outfit, we had, I think we applied for like 42 patents and awarded somewhere between 25 and 30 of them. And these patents have led to four or five products that are actually on the market, and that there are companies that are making money on those now. There were three founders in that particular company and a VC company, and now I chalk it up to experience, but the VC company owns everything. If you want to know about that, that could be a different show. We'll call that business experience the hard way. But I've never met anybody.
I'm not laughing because it's not really funny, but it's funny after the fact, and you have a lot of the scars to show it, because anybody that's been through the trenches of business have a lot of scars, and you're so much smarter as you get older. The only problem is, as you get older, do you have the energy to do the same amount of work you did when you're younger? That's why the younger entrepreneurs really do need some senior advisors who've gotten their ass kicked along the way, trying to keep them out of those issues, you know?
But I've never met anybody like Max.
I agree.
I mean, Max is he's a very personable guy, extremely humble, and really one of the smartest guys I've ever met. And for Max to turn around and send me something, he just sends me, he sends me black seed oil. You know, this is a while back. It's like, Dr. Joe, I'm thinking about using this. Do an analysis and tell me what you think. And that's all he tells me. And then next thing I see is I write it back to him, and I send him my report, if you will. And then the next time I see that report is he sent it out to all of his other people saying, see, I told you this was the best stuff on the market, and this is why we're going to use it. Dr. Joe says so. So, you know, Max has come alive with Live Longer Labs and what he's doing for humanity and how connected he is in the spiritual realm. Every time I talk to Max, I learn something new. And that's what I really love. And the complimentary back and forth between Max and Phil is absolutely fabulous. You know, those guys are great guys. I love them to death. But Max never gives me an edge on how he's thinking about anything. He just gives me the name and then he trusts my response. And that's why another reason we're creating Dr. Joe for Hope. And then the caveat to that is we're also going to do Dr. Joe's Prose. And those are little short clips, you know, 1 to 2 minutes that talk about a specific topic that will give people health tips or things. It's modeled after the old Dr. Red Duke out of Houston in the 60s. If you Google Dr. Red Duke, that's exactly what Max is trying to create. And we've come up with our first 30 topics that we're going to make short videos out of just so we can help humanity.
Well, that's
just
awesome.
So we can help humanity.
Yeah, that's all. I'm so glad you guys are doing that. In any way I can be a helper, an inspiration to help you going, I absolutely love it. And that's why I like to have Max and Phil on, is because we talk about all these cool topics. You know, we get into the C60, but we talk about so many cool cutting edge science topics and that's how the world is changing. And, you know, there's the dark and the light side of science. I want people to understand what's coming down the pike when we're talking about science. And you know, I talk a lot about corruption. I talk a lot about things that are going on the edge of society and change. And with these super promising science, you know, there's so many amazing things we can do with humanity, but we got to get these bad guys out of the way because they can take that amazing science and turn it for on the dark side too.
Or shelf it.
And that's why it's so important for people to understand what it is that we're talking about. These are very, very powerful. We're entering into a whole new phase of humanity with these powerful science and technology. It's amazing.
And I'm just happy to be part of it.
Yeah, well, okay, so how can people get hold of you?
People can get a hold of me. There will be links on the Live Longer Labs website, the Pure Bella Vita website. There'll be a link on your website if you want it there. And Google Dr. Joe for Hope. And those websites are all forwarded to my website, which is superiortoxicology.com. And there'll be a big prominent button for the HOPE program right on the landing page.
Excellent. And now, will there be a cost for this? How will people, you know, people who are really struggling on all these drugs, is it going to be covered by insurance? How will people pay for this? Or what are you doing with that?
There will be a cost. It's for, you know, the first half a dozen drugs, it's going to be $150. Over that, it'll be $250. But as Max does, Superior Toxicology will work with anybody who needs to be worked with. If somebody needs this service, we're going to find a way to get it done for them. I do not believe it'll be covered by insurance. So it'll be a cost to the people who wanted to have it done. And like I said, there will be a way for everybody to have it done that needs to have it done. We'll work that out. How that happens, I don't know yet.
It doesn't sound that expensive anyways, but for those who can't afford it, you have a program. So that is so great. Helping humanity is wonderful. Okay, well, thank you so much for joining the program today. I really appreciate everything that you're doing and just continue doing what you do.
Sure. And, you know, to close it out on, my PhD and my science background and my ability to be a different perspective is going to help Max. It'll help you. And, I mean, because you can direct people's questions to Dr. Joe's Prose. And they'll get a different perspective on what they think. And then it can be a back and forth. So it's all part of making people's lives better. So that's the objective.
Well, and we probably need you.
That's the objective.
And we probably need you back at some point to understand the 5G, the environmental toxins, all that stuff, because that's a major issue. I mean, that's what people are worried about. So at some point, I need you back to talk about 5G and the environmental toxins that we're
absolutely. I'm happy to do it, and yeah, I'm happy to get on with Phil and Max or solo or whatever you see fit. Then I'm here at your disposal. I appreciate your time, Sarah, and truly enjoyed our conversation.
Okay, thank you so much, Dr. Joe.